Turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians tonight, and Ephesians chapter 4, if you would, in your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 4. Before we stand, I want to go through a couple of things. Also, by the way, save your place in Ephesians 2. We'll start in Ephesians 2. We'll get to Ephesians 4 in a minute. I failed to mention that, so apologize about that. But Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 2, I know they're right next to each other. We're going to focus on Ephesians 4 here and towards the end of the message. On Sunday nights, we've been walking through 1 Corinthians, and last week, if you remember, we just finished in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that passage on purity in marriage. And next Sunday night, actually, we'll step into Paul's instruction on staying together in marriage. And that's God's intention. And so I want to encourage you to be here for that. And kind of in what the Bible says about divorce, about remarriage, and even we'll be getting into the gift of singleness. We're just kind of taking it in order of how Paul addresses it. And these are real life issues. I mean, they touch people all over the world. They touch people in this room tonight. And I really want to encourage you to stay with us through that over the next few weeks in 1 Corinthians. And you may think that one of the messages doesn't have anything to do with you, but you might be surprised to find out that, if you're married, the message on singleness, you might find that there's a lot there that will help you. And if you're single, if you're single planning to be married, the message is on marriage. Get it now. Amen. Get it now before you're married. Right? Right, parents? Amen. Help me out. Okay, please. And, whether you've been married and aren't anymore or whatever, I think all of these messages, have a lot to do with every single one of us. And so I would encourage you to be here for that. But also on Wednesday nights, at, 7, by the way, it's going to be moving to 6:30 soon. All right. We'll let you know when, just a little FYI, but, not yet, but I want to encourage you to be here Wednesday at 7. We spent 2 weeks on Wednesday nights in apologetics, and this week we're going to spend some time on a topic that has stirred up a lot of debate, especially amongst Baptist circles, and it's on the topic of repentance. Some say it's a work. Some say it isn't necessary for salvation. Some say it's not a work. Some say it is necessary for salvation. Some say it's optional. So the message Wednesday night is going to be titled, To Repent or Not to Repent? That is the question. So I'm looking forward to that. And we're just going to look at what the Bible says about it. All right. And open the Bible, let God settle it. And I think it's important because this has become a big thing. And maybe not amongst this circle of people. Maybe some of you are like, I didn't know there was even an issue there. But looking forward to that. And in our Wednesday night series, we'll be getting into, I'm calling them kind of hot topics of the day and things that Christians are dealing with. And it's not just Bible doctrines, although it is Bible doctrines. But it's things that are, what you argue about in the foyer and things like that. And so we'll be getting into stuff like that. Nothing like did Adam and Eve have a belly button. I'm not even going to consider that. So the answer is no. A belly button's a scar. Okay. I do remember that argument in Bible college. It was crazy. Somebody asked. Never mind. Okay, I'll just say it since I brought it up. You can't do that. Somebody in that you don't say it. Somebody argued about. He preached a message in dorm devotions one night in Bible college because we drove down to Dallas and we rode roller coasters. And he decided to extend his soul winning time to like 6 hours that day. This guy did. And so I think he felt really spiritual that day. And so, um, he, preached a devotion that night. He was up. It was his turn on devotions. And the title of his devotion was, Would Paul Ride Roller Coasters? Would the Apostle Paul ride roller coasters? And I was like, hey, buddy, come on now. But those are the kind of arguments we get into. But that's not the kind of stuff we're going to talk about. Some real things that, although some of it does seem to be kind of pointless in my mind, but still needs to be settled. So tonight's message will help us out with our Sunday night series and our Wednesday night series, I think. Because everywhere you look today, people are wrestling with big questions. Not like what I just mentioned, but questions about truth, about purpose in life, morality, what's right, what's wrong, about identity, and even God himself. And the confusion isn't because people aren't thinking. Although you wonder sometimes, based on some of the questions, like, what are you thinking? But I don't think the confusion or the questions is because they're not thinking. I think a lot of the confusion is because they're starting from the wrong place. They're starting from the wrong point. And so everybody has a worldview. Every person kind of has a lens through which they see and they interpret life. And if that lens is wrong, if that lens is skewed, if there's something wrong with it, everything looks distorted. I don't wear glasses. I do think I might need them. And I'm just denying that right now and doing my best to not look like I'm doing this with everything that I read. But if you put on the wrong pair of glasses, I mean, it's really going to mess things up. It's also like trying to build a house with a crooked foundation. You can work hard at it. You can make it look good and be sincere and put in the effort, but whole thing's still going to be off if the foundation isn't right. We're going to talk a lot about foundation tonight, but that's kind of what happens when people try to make sense of life without Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. And you might be intelligent. You might be articulate. You might be sincere. You might be genuine in your intentions. You might even be religious. But by the way, you can go into other religions and you can find good things in a lot of religions that are leading people to hell. There are things in other religions. And listen, if there's another religion that says you shouldn't hurt somebody, well, that's true, isn't it? So I'm just saying you can find truth in false doctrine or false religions. But the sincerity and just because the truth is there, listen, if it's foundation, if its beginning point is wrong, it's not going to hold and it's not going to last. The structure won't hold. And so trying to build your life on that kind of foundation is going to work. And so, and by the way, obviously we're preaching it here at Northwest Baptist Church in here tonight. Obviously this matters for the world, but this matters for us, for Christians sitting in these chairs tonight. Because if we're not careful and we start observing the world's assumptions and we start observing the world's conclusions without and then we start to kind of conform to it without even realizing. We start to get used to it. We start to just kind of accept it subtly. And so when we start looking at the Word of God and use that as our lens, then we're going to see things clearly. That's why this matters tonight. But when Christ is the cornerstone, when His Word, we filter everything through His Word, when this becomes the lens, everything comes into focus and you start to see the world the way God wants you to see it. And you begin to understand who you are, why He has purpose for you, why you're here, what God expects of you. You start to live your life that way. You start to wake up in the morning with purpose. It doesn't change the world. The world's still there. All its problems are still there. All its temptations are still there. In fact, it's going to get worse and worse. But you wake up with determination and motivation because you're viewing the world through the lens that God wants you to view it. And you're viewing your life through the filter that God wants you. And Jesus is your chief cornerstone. And I've already just nailed a bunch of application right at the beginning, because I think all of that's just very important as we live our Christian life. Because even when there's a lot of cultural pressure and religious language, you start to recognize truth from error. Truth, error. And you don't get confused between the two. And you can live your life with purpose. And that's why I wanted to go to Ephesians tonight. Before we walk into these issues that we're going to be walking into Wednesday night, and even in some of these kind of topics of what the Bible says about marriage and about singleness and about divorce. And I mean, 1 Corinthians, it's been hot and heavy, you know, up to this point on Sunday evening, especially since like chapter 5, but it's just going to keep going. And the right frame of mind is what we need as we get into it. So I want to anchor really in Ephesians 2 to start with. So if you're there, if you'll stand with me in honor of God's word, if you're willing and able to, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Bob says, "Now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple of the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." That's all we're going to start with tonight. Just the title of the message is simply that, Jesus, the chief cornerstone. So let's pray, we'll get into it. Our God in heaven, Lord, I need you tonight. I pray you'd help me to preach your word with clarity and be true to it, be sincere. God, that you would help us to open our hearts and our minds to what you have for us. And we'd apply it where you want us to. I pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. Thanks so much. You can be seated. When Paul called Jesus the chief cornerstone, he was describing something every builder in that day would understand, and really every builder today, and those of us who might not be builders, we still get the concept of it. The cornerstone had to be solid. It had to be positioned right. It had to be straight. It had to be level. Because everything else depended on that cornerstone. If the cornerstone was wrong, the building was wrong. Somebody said the cornerstone was the biggest stone in the foundation. It was unmovable once it was set in place. It was unmovable. That's the picture Paul wants us to see. In your life, your foundation, more than that, the cornerstone, ought to be unmovable. It ought to be sure. It ought to be straight. It ought to be level. There's no question about it. And everything is built there. That's what he wants to see. Christ should not be part of our life. Jesus, I look at it like this, Jesus should be the reference point of our life. In everything we face in our lives, Jesus Christ should be our reference point. We should point to him for all things. Here's the cornerstone. This is a good starting point. I can, whatever materials I've got a good starting point. I can start here with Jesus Christ because he's reliable, isn't he? Bible gives us several ways regarding the reliability of the cornerstone. I'm going to go ahead and kind of give you the outline as I go. I haven't been doing this a lot lately, but I'm going to kind of give you the outline as I go. It might give you some reference points to look back to later, or just kind of help you follow along. So we're talking right now about the reliability of the cornerstone. And if Jesus is reliable, we've got to know how. So here's how. Number one, the cornerstone gives identity. The cornerstone determines the size and the shape and the purpose of the building. You didn't have a big, huge building with this tiny little cornerstone. And if you had a huge cornerstone, then most likely the foundation that was built around the cornerstone was also going to be of significant size. And so most likely the building then would also be. I know you can build something small on a bigger cornerstone. And by the way, in the Christian life, that happens sometimes. We do have a solid cornerstone, don't we, Jesus Christ? But we're not oftentimes always building our lives in the manner that God wants us to. We have the right foundation, but we're not reaching to our full potential. If we got a solid cornerstone, we're talking we could build skyscrapers. That's the kind of cornerstone we've got. It's a little different than the cornerstone that you have for your shed. Okay? It's a little different. You're not going to build a skyscraper on that foundation. But we've got a foundation on which we can build a skyscraper. But too often, Christians aren't reaching their full potential. I had no intention of even saying any of the things I just said there, but I just felt like all of a sudden I needed to say that. Because the cornerstone determined the size, shape, and purpose of the building. And it did. It told you what kind of structure was being built. And in the same way, Jesus defines who you are. Without him, now, without that cornerstone, people try to build their identity on anything they can. People are trying to build their identity on a career or on sports. People are trying to build their identity maybe on a relationship or on feelings, on what they've accomplished, their achievements. Some of them built their identity on their failures. Some are building their identity on politics. And so a lot of people are building their identity. They're using that as their cornerstone, but those things can't bear the weight of a human soul, but Jesus can. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Your identity is not in something you create. It's in something that you receive. 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Your identity isn't built on your performance, and it's not built on what you've accomplished. It is based on the fact that you're adopted in Christ. Your identity is based on Jesus Christ. And Ephesians 1:6, you're right there. Look at verse 6. The Bible says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, you know what that means, though? It means that your identity is secure. You can't lose it, right? When Jesus is the cornerstone, you don't have to reinvent yourself or do anything to protect that identity. I'm saved. Why? Because of the work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. I'm a Christian, not because of my work, but because of his. Nothing can change that, right? I'm secure in that. You just rest on who he says you are. So, if Jesus is reliable, we've got to see how. Number one, the cornerstone gives identity. Number two, the cornerstone brings unity. Paul said in our text that we just read in Ephesians chapter 2 that he said the whole building is fitly framed together. Verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together. That means every stone, we're the stones, okay? Every stone is placed in relation to the cornerstone. You know, unity in the church doesn't come from similarity. Unity in the church doesn't come from personality or things that we have in common. Like in likes and interests. You can create friendships, and the likes and interests weigh into that for sure. I mean, if you like to fish and you've got somebody else who likes to fish and one of you has a bass boat, the other one likes you a lot. You have a friend. So yeah, there's similarities and personal interests that come into play there for sure. But unity in a church isn't based on those things. Our unity simply comes from alignment to Jesus Christ. Again, we've got the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And just as bricks and mortar are, you think about a building, precisely placed around the cornerstone of a building, so our lives have got to be permanently bonded to Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4, if you'll turn there real quick, I guess we're going to go to it earlier than I intended. But Ephesians 4, verse 15 says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." In other words, unity is not created by us. We have unity at Northwest Baptist Church, amen? But it's not created by us. It's created by Christ. If you build your life on Christ, I build my life on Christ, that's really going to help us in unity, isn't it? And Philippians 2:2 says that we are to be of one mind. Not thinking alike naturally, but we submit to the same Lord. You submit to Jesus, I submit to Jesus. Romans 12:5 says, "We being many are one body in Christ." Not one body in preference. Listen, you might have a different preference. Or in personality, but in Christ, in Jesus. And when Jesus is that chief cornerstone, the church becomes a spiritual house. Not a pile of disconnected stones. Another way that we can see the reliability of Jesus as a cornerstone is not just that he gives identity or brings unity, but that he sets direction. Every single measurement in the building was taken off of this cornerstone. Every measurement. You might think, well, no. I mean, if you're measuring the window frame, if you're measuring a header over a door, what does that do to the cornerstone? Well, it all connects back to the cornerstone. You started with the cornerstone, didn't you? You started with the cornerstone, and in that day it looked different than it does today. But you have the foundation. You dug the footers, and you begin to build on that. And pretty soon you poured a slab or something like that. But it's all built on that foundation there that you have laid. And then pretty soon you start to raise the walls. And when you do so, I mean, sometimes when you're raising a wall, you build that header in there. As the wall's still down on the ground, you lift it up. Sometimes some will bring the wall up, and then they'll add that header later on. But still, it all is connected because you got to measure the distances and the length, width, heights, depths. I mean, everything about it connects back to that cornerstone, and it all aligns to that. The whole building, every measure, every single measurement is based on that cornerstone right there. And if the cornerstone is crooked, though, the walls are going to be crooked. If the cornerstone is off, the walls are going to be off. If it's angled just a little bit this way, it's supposed to be straight. If the cornerstone's angled this way, then you've got the foundation going this way instead of this way. And so you have something that is off is going to cause everything else to be off. The same is true spiritually. If Jesus is your cornerstone, and he is, praise God, then your direction is set. You've got the right starting point. He sets the line of truth. John 14:6 says, "I am the what? Way." That's not a Star Wars slogan. I love how movies steal from the Bible. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is not determined by the culture, by the way. Truth is not determined by society. Truth isn't determined by your emotion either, or your feelings. It's not determined by a majority vote. When 40,000 people believe in a bad idea, it's still a bad idea. Truth is a person. That person is Jesus Christ. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus sets the line. And the Bible confirms the line, by the way. Not only does he set the line of truth, I mean, he is the cornerstone. The cornerstone sets direction. That cornerstone is reliable, but he sets direction because he sets the line of truth. He also sets the angle of obedience. Luke 6:46 says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Here's how you know if you're building on the right cornerstone, is if you're doing the things that he says. And he sets that direction, he sets that obedience, that angle of obedience. 1 John 2:6, he that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Did you hear that? He, that's you and me, if we're Christians, we say we follow Jesus. He that saith, he abideth in him, in Jesus. If you say you abide in Jesus, then you ought yourself also so to walk, even as he walked. If I say I abide in Christ, I ought to walk where he walks. I have to do what he does. I have to say what he says. I have to care about the things he cares about. I have to hate the things that he hates and love the things that he loves. He sets the angle, in other words, and we follow it. He sets the direction of your life. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy paths. Direction, something about direction is this. Direction is not something you guess at. It's not a guess. Direction is intentional. Your choice may be wrong, but it's intentional. And in this case, it's something that God gives. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Christ does not leave you in the dark. Christ leads you step by step. Not only does he set the angle of obedience and set the direction for your life, but he sets the standard for your worldview. Colossians 2:8. We talked about worldview at the beginning. And so Jesus sets the standard for that. Colossians 2:8 tells us not to be spoiled by philosophy and vain deceit after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. If Jesus is the cornerstone, then we've got a good foundation point. But if Jesus is not your cornerstone, the world will gladly take his place in your life. So your morals should not be determined by the culture. Your worldview should not be determined by the culture. Your purpose in your life and the decisions you make shouldn't be determined by the pressure around you, because Jesus sets the line, he sets the angle, he sets the direction, and when you follow his line, your life will stand. Nothing will be off, nothing will be crooked. Why is he reliable? I think, very importantly, that the cornerstone is reliable. Here's a really awesome reason. Because Jesus does not change, does he? Turn to Hebrews 13, if you would. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same. Means he doesn't change. The same yesterday and today and forever. Everything else in life changes. Jesus does not. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Our foundation is not shifting sand. It's a fixed person. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock. He's my rock. When we go on vacation, one of the things Josiah loves to do is he loves to climb boulders and rocks. If we go on, for some reason, we always hike somewhere when we go on vacation. And we love it. We do. We're not sorry for that. I'm sorry while I'm doing it sometimes because I'm out of breath, but it's so much fun and just the views. But it doesn't matter where we've been. Josiah finds some kind of rock to climb on, right? He finds some kind of boulder to get on top of. Look at me, I'm king of the mountain. And then he cries for my help to get him down sometimes. Not really, he'll jump down a lot. He's getting to that age, but a rock. He's not looking for a pebble to climb on, right? He's not excited about a bunch of gravel that might be, you know, just kind of in a little pile there. He's looking for a rock. I'm looking for a rock. I need a rock to stand on. It's something secure. And when Jesus is your cornerstone, you're not building on things that are shifting. Trends that shift. They're always changing, aren't they? Hairstyles of today, I mean, the teenagers think that they came up with it. Are you kidding? Out of thousands of years of this world, you came up with a new hairstyle? What? No, you didn't. Listen, when your parents were teenagers, those were the hairstyles they made fun of because the generation before them had it. I mean, everything comes back around. Clothing styles come back around. There's some new things. I get that. But trends are always changing. What's cool today, and I don't think cool is the word they use anymore, but what's cool today is not going to be 2 years from now. Well, that's old news. But then their kids are going to start doing it. And I mean, things are always changing, and there's trends in every area of life. There's trends in churches. Churches get trendy because society is the cornerstone they're building on. I want to be like them to reach them. Jesus wasn't like anybody. He wasn't like anyone. He was a friend of publicans and sinners, but he wasn't trying to be like the publicans and sinners. And when Christ is your cornerstone, you're not building on trends or feelings or cultural winds. You're building on the unchanging character of God. I'm glad he's a rock. And he holds everything together. Colossians 1:17 says this, by him all things consist. He literally holds the universe together. Everything in our universe, he's holding it together. So I think he can hold your life together. Hebrews 1:3, upholding all things by the word of his power. All things. That includes you. That includes your problems. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. And God, while he's orchestrating the sun, moon, and stars, and he's holding all of the universe together, he's not distant from you. He's not out of reach or uncertain. He is a reliable cornerstone for you to build your life on. And Paul reveals him to us, if you'll go back to our text there in Ephesians chapter 2. He makes him clear. And Paul says, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And that matters because it tells us something important to the Christian life. God did not leave us to guess what truth is. He gave us a foundation and revealed truth through the prophets. That's what he's talking about there. Are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. He gave us truth through the prophets of the Old Testament and through the apostles of the New Testament. God used both of these groups of men to give us foundational truths from God's word. The prophets pointed forward to Christ. The apostles pointed back to Christ. And together they gave us the doctrines that we have here in the word of God and the truths that are in the word of God that we can rest on, that we can build our lives on, that we can use as our foundation. This is very important because a lot of times people today say things like, well, that's your interpretation. You ever heard that? Well, that's your interpretation. You know, everybody has their own interpretation. They just got to apply it. It means to you what it means to you, and it means to me what it means to me. And the problem is, what if those two things are different? Right. What is it saying? What does God intend here? Everybody sees the Bible differently, or truth is personal. And Paul is saying the exact opposite. It's not personal. It's revealed and given and anchored in what God has spoken. He explains that. Acts 2:42 says that the early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What did they continue steadfastly in? I just gave you the answer, so hopefully you can answer it. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' what? Not personalities. In their doctrine. not in their style of whatever in the church or their programs. I like this church because it has this program. Or in their preference of music. Or in trends or in opinions. No, in the apostles' doctrine. They followed the truth. That's what you need to follow. Because Christians today build their beliefs on what feels right or what they grew up with or what they've always known or what their culture approved and maybe somebody who's popular, somebody who's on YouTube or whatever that just kind of is eloquent and articulate and has that kind of captivating voice, so that means what they're saying must be true. That's what politicians are built on, by the way. And I'm not really impressed with their articulation either, but that's how they're getting following. If your life is not built on the doctrines God has given, your life is eventually going to crumble or come to nothing. And not because you're weak, but because your foundation is weak. Do you hear me? It's not about, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about your foundation. If your foundation isn't on the truth of God's word, then the foundation is not going to hold what you're trying to build, and it's going to crumble. And somebody might ask, why does doctrine matter so much? Because doctrine is, say, what is doctrine? Doctrine is simply what God said. Can we just make it more understandable? Doctrine is what God said. It's truth. And if you remove that, you remove God's voice. You say, well, why can't we just focus on Jesus, ignore doctrine? Tear down those walls. You know, why do we have to have division in those things? Well, here's why. Because if something's true, this is so profound. Are you ready? If something's true and something is not true, they don't go together very well. Right. We're not looking to be divisive at all. I simply want to know what God said, and I want to live my life patterned after what God said. That's it. That's all. I'm not trying to pick a fight with anybody. What did God say? Good. What did he say? So the division then isn't with you. Somebody's not being divisive with you. They're being divisive against God's word. They're disagreeing with God's word. It's his battle. It's God's fight. You can't separate Jesus from what he taught. Paul ties the apostles here in our verse that we just read and the prophets together because that's one foundation. It's all truth. The prophets, what they taught, and the apostles, what they taught. It's all truth that works together. And Jesus is the chief cornerstone. The prophets foretold him. The psalmist wrote, "The stone which the builders refuse is become the headstone of the corner." Jesus actually quoted that verse and applied it to himself. God didn't hide the cornerstone. God announced it. He promised it. He identified it. The document of the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, the doctrines here talk about Jesus, the virgin-born Jesus, right? Eternal Son of God, ordained by God to be the cornerstone. Paul is not introducing something new. He's pointing to him. And then he said this. Look at the words there in Ephesians 2. Paul said, "And are built upon the foundation, the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together." Peter said it this way, "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious." Do you believe Jesus is precious tonight? He is precious. And no matter what the world says about him, he's precious. So why do so many reject him? Because accepting Christ means If I'm going to accept Him, I'm going to have to accept His truth. And that means surrendering yourself. People want to be saved without submitting to Him. They want forgiveness, but they don't want to change their lives. And if Jesus is precious, why do some people seem to be bored with Him? Because they've built parts of their lives on another foundation. When Christ is not the cornerstone, He becomes an accessory instead of the center. And that becomes a stumbling stone, by the way. But some rejected it. Some have rejected Him. Raise your hand if you know somebody who's rejecting Christ tonight. Okay, raise your hand if you've been trying to witness to somebody who's just still rejecting Christ. This happened, I mean, this is always the case in history. You think of the days of Noah, and you think of the Israelites. You consider the Jewish nation in the first century who saw Jesus. They were actually there. They saw Him in the flesh. And they still looked for some other Savior, and they're still looking for another Savior. Peter stood before the religious leaders and said, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders." They had the Bible. Listen, they had the Scriptures, the Old Testament. They had the prophecies. And they literally had the Messiah standing right in front of them. And they rejected Him. And they still reject Him. And the world rejects Christ today. People will call you narrow-minded. They'll call Christianity narrow-minded. They call the gospel exclusive. And out the Bible, they'll call it outdated. And they can call it whatever they want. It doesn't change who Jesus is, does it? It only reveals their heart of the ones rejecting Him. It just reveals their heart. Lee Strobel said, "Many people consider it arrogant, narrow-minded, and bigoted for Christians to contend that the only path to God must go through Jesus of Nazareth." But we don't just have this opinion about it. Jesus said, "I am the door," didn't He? He said, "I am the way." We're just repeating what He said, right? I mean, most of the world, even those who don't accept Him as the only way of salvation, most religions will say that, well, He was a good man. Okay? Well, if He's not the only way, then He's not a good man, because that would make Him a liar. Right? He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me." If that statement's not true, if He's just a good man and not really the only way to salvation, then He's not a good man. He's a liar. A good man doesn't lie. But He is the way, isn't He? He is the truth. He is the life. And also, I mean, they'll say that He was maybe a prophet. Well, then He was a false prophet, if those sayings aren't true. But He's the Son of God. He is the Messiah they were waiting for. And truth is not determined by what the public says. Christ is the cornerstone, whether the world accepts Him or not. Here's something we can count on. False cornerstones always fail. When people reject Christ, they don't stop building. They simply choose a different cornerstone. Humanism says man is enough, or liberalism says truth is flexible. Secularism says God is unnecessary, but every cornerstone eventually collapses. Every god of this world, it's false because it rejects the only true cornerstone. And the end result of false worship is bitter, and it's destructive. It's going to collapse. It's shifting sand. And believers ought not to be ashamed. Look at Romans 9, if you would, please. Romans chapter 9, verse 33. Bible says, "Whosoever," sorry, let me get that right. Yeah. says right there at the end, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Do you believe on him tonight? You don't have to apologize for that. Don't apologize for believing truth. Don't hide your faith. You stand on a sure foundation. Jesus told a story about two men who built homes. One built on the sand. And one built on a rock. I assume both houses looked fine. I assume both houses looked pretty, possibly even impressive. We're just going to assume they looked the same for the most part. And it seemed good. Both proud of what they've done, possibly. But then a storm came, and the storm revealed the foundation, right? The house on the sand fell, and the house on the rock stood. And people all over this world are building their lives on the sands of this world. Humanism, relativism, secularism, trying to earn their way to heaven and work salvation. Those lives don't stand. They won't stand. But those who built on Christ will stand, not because they are strong houses necessarily, but because their foundation is strong. And I think a lot of Christians even are trying to build a strong house, or trying to secure up or shore up some things in their lives that need to be taken care of. You're trying to stop this, or you're trying to do that, or you're trying to make this a little better or get rid of that. But you've got to start at the beginning. You've got to look at your foundation. And am I building my house on the foundation? And you might have to go way down into the foundation and start over even, and start building your life on the foundation, because you've been building on something else. You've been building on your own power. You've been building on philosophies or the way things have always been. And you've not been building your life on Jesus Christ. I want my life to stand. I want my house to stand. I want to do something for Christ. And I've got to look back and I've got to realize, listen, I've been building this on the wrong foundation. So I've got to knock it down. I've got to start over. Not, I'm saved. It's not about getting saved again. But as a husband, if things aren't right, I've got to look at what I've been trying to do to be a good husband. Am I basing my goodness on trying to provide for my wife? Am I basing my goodness on trying to build something with my hands? Am I basing my goodness trying to just say I'm providing? Or am I basing it on I'm trying to lean on Jesus Christ, because I know I can't do this on my own. I know I can't be the husband God wants me to be without him. And building my life on him and his word. And let's just be honest, we don't have time tonight to go through the list of things that can parallel that. But you got to apply that same truth to every single one of us here tonight in every area. The question tonight is simple. What are you building your life on? And if money's your cornerstone, you're going to think about it constantly, right? So I'm saying, here's how you know what you're building your life on. It's on what's consuming your mind. What's consuming your mind? Your thought life. Because if money's your cornerstone, that's what you're thinking about. If career, that's what you're stressing about all the time. If the culture is your cornerstone, you'll shift with every trend. But if Jesus is your cornerstone, you're going to stand, because he's reliable and he's precious. So build your life on him. Don't be ashamed. He's still waiting for some to begin with him. And he's still waiting to save. Maybe somebody's not saved tonight, but you can begin right with Jesus as your cornerstone. Because he's solid, he's true, he's unchanging. He shows us the direction. And everything in your life has got to be filtered through this lens of Jesus Christ. And everything in your life has got to be built. Whatever you face, whatever trial, whatever storm, whatever situation you face in your life, whatever comes up, whatever you're facing now, you've got to go back to Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. Go back to, what I'm saying is go back to his word. Go back to prayer and talk to him and say, God, I can't do this without you. I need your help. I need your strength. I need your surety. I need that foundation. I've got to build on how you're leading and guiding and directing, and you're relying on him as the foundation of everything in your life. I could ever head out ever close at this time. Our God in heaven, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to respond how you'd have us to. I don't know who needed this message tonight, but God, I just pray that you'd help us to just respond accordingly, and that you work on hearts this evening. And I pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen.